fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and so glad you could join me again today. I've been chewing this week on the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it mean that Jesus Christ, as Paul described him in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that Jesus is the Lord of glory? Human beings are made for glory. Fallen human nature, we seek glory in a way that is inconsistent with what we're made for. We try to glorify ourselves. We try to achieve things so that our name is renowned and everybody knows it. And we find glory in pursuit of glory in becoming famous or becoming powerful, becoming first and getting ahead of everyone else. I mean, it's the condition of the human heart, the fallen human heart, which is made for glory in a disordered way, out of disordered self-love or preoccupation with the self, with hubris and pride. We pursue glory created by our own hands. But the truth is, friends, that all that glory is going to pass away. All that glitters is not gold. It's phony. There might be a little something there, but it's going to pass away. It's not the glory that we were made for and the glory that we seek, because the glory we seek is so far beyond, we don't even realize it, but the glory with which we were made for is a glory that we can only receive. It's not something we can achieve. It's a gift. It's God who is the source of all glory. It's Jesus Christ who is, as St. Paul said, the Lord of glory. All glory in heaven and on earth, Scripture says, belongs to Jesus Christ. The Father has given it to him, his beloved Son, his faithful Son. It's really worth thinking about that. Words like Lord and glory kind of escape us. It's a little hard to grasp it because we don't have too many lords. We got a lot of people who act like lords, I suppose, but in a democratic society like our own, it's not common to see, you know, he's a lord, you know, he has authority, he's a king or whatever. But by Lord, what we mean is Jesus literally has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. The entire cosmos, all of creation, is in his hands, despite what some of the atheistic scientists in the world today want to insist on, that there is no world beyond the material world and this is all an accident and all the rest of it. God made the heavens and the earth. Jesus Christ is Lord over all of it. Every single human being made in the image and likeness of God was made to know God, follow God, obey God, walk in relationship with God. And each one of us will have to appear before Jesus to give an account for our life. What kind of life did you live? I don't mean to say, well, did the good outweigh the bad? That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about something deeper. The real question is, did you want God? Did you want God? Did you love God? Did you love your neighbor? Did you receive Jesus Christ, the beloved Son, God's gift to the world? Friends, to know God's glory is to know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, literally, as Paul said, is the Lord of glory. And as I was talking about earlier yesterday a little bit at the end of the program, and even today some, there's a constant battle for us to achieve a sense of glory and an experience of glory here in this world that's fallen. It's a skewed and demented kind of drive that we have that's an example, you might say, or a manifestation of what St. Paul would call the reign of sin, the power of sin over us. It's pride, it's hubris, it's ego. And it really hit home with me a couple of months ago. I watched a documentary on the city of New York, and it's fascinating. It's worth watching. It's really the story of how Manhattan in particular came to be, starting with the Dutch in 1609 when they landed on the shores there and discovered that fantastic harbor And the 300 or so year history of New York is really a fascinating one, for good and for ill. And so what I did was I kind of wrote down some of what the experts on the documentary were saying about the city and about ultimately what happened on 9/11. And we know 9/11 was a terrible, tragic moment in our history and a wicked moment of really evil people succeeding in killing many, many innocent people. It was a horrific day. But there's also an amazing lesson in it, I think, about how empty human glory is, really, when it comes right down to it, how passing, how fleeting it all is. But I just want to read the words of the experts who were on this documentary, what they were saying kind of about the city. They said, New York became the epicenter of a new global economic order in the 20th century, restlessly projecting itself across the world. So the skyline of New York had become one of the most powerful and instantly recognizable symbols on the earth. By the beginning of the 21st century, I'm just quoting the people who were speaking, it says, by the beginning of the 21st century, strangely paradoxical, once diverse and cosmopolitan, yet in many ways surprisingly insular and inward-looking, was globalization simply gathering in the world's peoples and monies were coming to New York City. It became the center of this new global economy. He said, for up to 50 years, the two towers at the tip of Manhattan embodied the reach and the stretch and in some ways the glory of the city of New York. He said that skyline is part of everyone's imagination and life in some way. All over the world, people had the picture of New York and all those skyscrapers, but in particular, the Twin Towers. People see it in movies, hear about it in music. Everyone has a kind of picture in their head of New York City and what it's like. They said for almost 50 years at the foot of Lower Manhattan, the two of the tallest, most instantly recognizable structures on earth were there, the two towers, the mightiest and most ambivalent monuments of their age. In the end, they became the most tragic. Concerned with the giddy aftermath of World War II, the rising of America itself rose to a global power, which followed World War II, ultimately became the center, again, of global economy. They're just kind of repeating this over and over again, destined to become the real symbolic epicenter of an economic system that would come to dominate much of the face of the planet. More than any other structures of the age, they would be intimately bound up from start to finish with the awesome forces reshaping New York in the second half of the 20th century, and with the even greater forces propelling America relentlessly upward and even outward across an increasingly complex and interconnected globe. The real magnetic pull of these buildings around the world became a convenient symbol for all those who wanted ultimately to destroy us. They go on describing the towers themselves. This was a phenomena never quite seen before. 10 million square feet of rental space. Nothing even remotely close to that number in terms of size and scope and real estate was ever created up to that point. It was an audacious effort to build these twin towers, and their multidimensional exercise in hubris, one guy described it as. But they embodied the highest hopes and the deepest contradictions of New York City, their century-long push into the sky, and America's astonishing 50-year expansion around the globe. 50,000 people worked in those towers. Each one was built with roughly 500,000 tons of steel and glass. They seemed impregnable. They were the quintessential expression of the new global economy. But then, as the documentary was unfolding, he kind of told at length kind of the history of the Twin Towers. Then, of course, they showed footage I had never seen, some of it, of the tragedy of 9/11. And the most shocking thing for me, it's the first time I thought about it, after thinking about and listening to what they had said about the symbolic power and also the achievement, the human achievement of the Twin Towers, which was incredible architectural achievement, And it was a sign of human glory. And it was a symbol that the whole world saw. It was sort of like New York City was like sitting on top of the world. But within 2 hours' time, after those planes hit the towers, they were gone. In fact, these huge structures, which under the heat, they said that there was almost 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit of heat and fire that came about through these planes and everything else that was set off, the fuel from the airplanes and the like. And when it began to cave, those gigantic structures that looked impregnable literally disappeared in 10 seconds. It took them 10 seconds to collapse, each one. And it collapsed down into what they called the bathtub, 6 floors beneath the ground. It just disappeared. Just a mangling of steel and glass, a kind of cataclysmic release happened. And we know it became a graveyard. Thousands and thousands of people died. And I want to remember them as we talk about it today, but the point of what I'm saying is just how fleeting is the glory of man. Friends, 1 million tons of steel basically disappeared completely from the horizon in 20 seconds. Stunning. But there's a teaching in it. There's something we shouldn't miss in it. I'm not talking about, lots of people have talked about judgment. I'm not moving in that direction. And I'm not saying a word about anybody who died in it other than we pray for them and we're sad for the death they had to die. They didn't do anything to deserve that kind of death. I want to also remember not only the hate that drove the jihadists who were willing to die to kill innocent people, but also the firemen who love so much they're willing to die to rescue people. The contradiction in that whole moment was, it's just filled with contradictions, and it's worth reflecting on, as painful as it is. But one of the commentators said this: the only buildings completely destroyed by the collapse were the buildings that carried the Trade Center label, buildings 1 through 7. An Orthodox church, a small one, was damaged near there. But he said in terms of total destruction, all 7 buildings that had the World Trade Center label on them were destroyed. They described it, he said it was like an apocalyptic wasteland of mangled steel. 1 million tons of steel and debris disappearing. I mean, just piled, but you couldn't see it any longer. All you saw was the smoke. In many ways, the Twin Towers were a symbol of modern glory, of, you know, the apex of achievement of man's glory. And friends, that's how fast the glory of man will pass. But the glory of God and his kingdom will last forever. That's what Jesus wants to give every single person. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.